This program is made possible by the members of the Church Street Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina.
I want to give the church two words. In John 14, in verse number 12. John 14, verse number 12. If you don't have a Bible, Kim's going to put these up there. And if you don't have a Bible, I want you to write these two words down. If you do have a Bible, I want you to underline these two words. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." Time. He that believeth on me, the works I do, he'll do it also. Time. How many of you believe in Jesus as the Messiah?
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
Who's he talking about then? Take your finger, put it in your chest and say, me. Say it with me, me. But watch this next phrase. And greater works shall he do. It's interesting to me that we often forget these little verses like this. Because John 14, John 15, John 16, and John number 17 are some of the greatest words that our Lord will ever speak. John 14, 15, and 16 are spoken in an upper room with 12 other men. He is getting ready to wash their feet, and they are having the last Passover before he will be betrayed into the hands of sinful men. What I preached on this morning, the betrayal of our Lord, that will happen in a matter of about 2 hours after this passage. But 2 hours before, he says this phrase. He says, boys, he said, what you've seen me do, you're going to do it. And you're going to do more than I ever did. You're going to do greater works than I've ever done. Why? Because I'm going to go back to my Father, which is in heaven. Turn over one verse to verse 13. How then am I going to do greater works than these? Verse number 13. And whatsoever. Let's just be frank right quick. What does whatsoever mean? Whatsoever. Listen, I have 1,300 books laying on tables in my office right now. And I probably have 600 that are on shelves in there. And I looked it up in as many commentaries as I could. And you ought to have seen theologians dancing around that word. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. They explained it in every which way than what that verse says. They said, well, it cannot mean whatsoever, but it does mean something. Listen to me. I am a pastor. I don't know that I would classify myself as a theologian, but I can read. And I'm pretty sure whatsoever means whatsoever. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Now I'm just a sitting back here scratching my little redneck neck, and I'm thinking, Jesus just told the disciples, he said, what you've seen me do, you are going to do. Ladies and gentlemen, he does not just say, and the disciples, boys, you are going to do what I am going have already done. What did he say? He that believeth on me, he will do whatsoever I have done. Well, I have already asked the introductory question, how many of you believe that Jesus Christ is Yeshua, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the answer, the source, the truth, the Lord of all glory? And almost everybody in here raised their hand. So then, therefore, Jesus is talking about you. And he said, you who believe in me, and you who trust in me and you who name the name of Christ, you will do the things that I have done. Well, I have to ask the question, what then has the Lord done? The book of John is filled with sevens. It's over and over and over again. There are seven different miracles in the book of John. There are seven different signs in the book of John. There are seven different I am statements that Jesus makes about himself in the book of John. But in those seven miracles, those seven different things that Jesus did, he said, those things that I have done, you are going to do them as well. Well, I look back at some of the things that Jesus did in the book of John because I want to know, Jesus, what'd you do? Because you're sitting here telling me I'm going to do it too. So here's what I'm saying. Did he not say, I want to make sure that we're all on the same page together. Let's go back to verse 12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Did I read that exactly like it was written? Therefore, would you all concur with me that what Jesus is saying there, the works that he did, those people that believe in him will do those same things also. How many of you would give me a vote of confidence on that assumption? Okay? Now, you and I would both agree we've probably not seen that done in our lifetime. Okay, so don't let reality change what truth is. Okay? Truth will make reality. Reality doesn't make truth. Am I right about it? Right. Reality is, reality says, if I jump off this building, I'm going to fall. But truth says that if I have more force behind me and I have something that will stick out, I can fly. Am I right about it? So reality says one thing, but there is more truth than reality. Are you with me so far? So your reality is we've not seen those works that Jesus has done today, right? Right. But you're not just going to see those. I'm going somewhere. Hold on. Some of y'all looking funny on me. But those things which I've done, you will do. So I want to know, what's the things Jesus did? Because I want to know what I did. Number one, Jesus, and I'm just going to go through them in my mind. Number one, Jesus cast out demons. Cast out demons. Cast out demons. Did Jesus cast out demons? Yes, he did cast out demons. He cast out demons. He turned water into wine. Did he not turn water into wine? He turned water into wine. Did he not turn fish and loaves into a feast for 5,000? Did he not do that? Yes, he did. Amen. Now, do I physically believe that Jesus was saying that me and you will turn 5 hush puppies into enough to feed 5,000 people? I don't know that that's what Jesus had in mind, because Jesus is making a transition from the physical to the spiritual. He's making a transition from what the mind can see to what the heart is going to see. So what I do think Jesus is saying here is that just as he cast out physical demons, there are going to be people in our culture and people in our lives that are being tormented by the devil and tormented by the demons and tormented by different things and overwhelmed and overrun, and hell has come against them. I just felt the lick right there. And hell has come against their home, and hell has come against their life, and hell has come against everything they are. And just as Jesus walked up to that maniac at Gadara and he said, get out of him and get into them pigs right there, I do believe that there will be people that Jesus meant for us to come along and be able to look and have enough power with God to walk up to family members and walk up to friends and tell them the truth and say, you don't have to be overrun and you don't have to be torn down and you don't have to live that way. There is peace and there is hope and there is grace and there is mercy and there is power and there's freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it is God's will for us to have that power to see that type of freedom given. Water into wine. What's water into wine? Turning something that ain't into something that is. Bob, was that wall there in 1965? Nope. But in 1968, was that wall there? What year to get there then? Okay. Start this transition over. Bob, now all those people saw you on TV last night and they were talking about how much they love you. I'll go to the other side over there if you're going to just contradict my sermons here, okay? Just, Bob, was this wall here in 1965? Bob, was this wall here in 1975? So you're telling me that God brought something out of nothing. He brought something that was not, or something that is, out of something that was not. Ladies and gentlemen, here's what I'm telling you. God has given the people of God power to do. He's given the people of God the power to bring something that is out of something that is not. Come here, boy. Come here. Walk with me. Talk with me. Help me now. Come on. Come on. Just give me another kid. Come here, Nolan. He ain't sitting with you no more. He always helps me preach. Somebody give him some Coke or something. Come on, Nolan, walk with me. Talk with me, son. All right, Nolan, here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing one day, God may use you to preach the gospel. God may use you to do something. God may use you to build a church. God may use you to pastor a people. God may use you to go across the world. God may use you to be a missionary. God may use you to do this. God may use you to do that. God may use you to see 10,000 saved. God may use you to tell the people in Africa that there is hope and prayer, that there is hope and power in Jesus Christ. God may tell you, come on, Miss Debbie, God may tell you that there is something. There is grace and there is mercy, there is power and there is peace, there is strength and there is help. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But you will preach the gospel. Now sit down. Now watch this. Is he that now? No. But could he be? It's as if God can bring something out of the works I do, ye shall. Well, maybe we are doing. All right? How old are you, Miss Debbie? You're almost 63 years old. All right? When you were 21 years old, were you doing then what you're doing now?
Yep.
Good. When you were 23 years old, were you helping like you're helping now?
No.
Were you filled like you're filled now?
No.
So it's as if now, are you filled?
Yes.
Oh, my. I feel the Holy Ghost right here. Yeah. Are you, hey, youngins, are you preaching, just preach on to the kids. Are you teaching them youngins?
Yes.
Is God helping them youngins?
Yes.
Was he doing it 25 years ago, 40 years ago? No, he wasn't. So it's as if God has brought something out of nothing. Let me walk you back to your seat. See if I can find another one. What I'm trying to show you is you don't have to explain away the Bible if you'll just believe the Bible as it's written. Come here, honey. All right, you ready for this, Chad? Where were you? Now you're under our deacon training, and God's doing something. And here in just a few months, a few years, we're going to see if God is really going to put his hand on you. Now watch this. 6 years ago, Bob, where were you? We don't even have to ask. You people know. We know your testimony. Were you in church? Were you wearing a tie? Were you in a shirt and tie? That's a pretty shirt, by the way. Say amen right there. He's in a beautiful tie. Were you walking with God? Did you have a baby? Were you seeing God answer prayer? No, you sure weren't. But today, you're being filled with the Holy Ghost, and you're walking with God. And you're learning how to pray, and you're sitting in church, and you got a wife beside you, and you got a baby back there running my mother crazy, and you got God doing something in your life. You say, what's that all about? It's as if God brought something out of nothing. You say, can God do that? I don't know. Let's ask that woman back there if God can bring something out of nothing. Let's ask that boy right there, can God bring something out of nothing? Let's ask this old boy right here if God can bring something out of nothing. What I'm trying to tell you is he that believeth on me, as the scripture says, he shall do the works that I do. And not just these works, but greater. Are you ready? Because I know there'll be some intellectuals that see me on the YouTube. I sound like my grandmother on the YouTube, the Facebook, proper now, the Facebook. Anyways, see us on the computer, and they'll say, "You all right? So let me give you something real proper. That word greater there, it's the Greek word meson. That word meson, it's not the idea of a building that is higher." It is the idea of a building that is more glorious. a building that's got more intricate details to it. It doesn't have the idea of something that goes taller. It has the idea of something that goes wider. Maison. So it's got the idea, you'll do the works that I do. And not just those works, but you will do more glorious works. You ready? Now watch. I'm going somewhere, okay? You ready? Watch this. How many people did Jesus cast demons out of? That we know of, there were no more than three. That we know of. Okay? Now remember, possessed by demons. I don't have to ask people in this room, how many of you have dealt with spiritual demons in your life at some point or another? But how many of you tonight would say, when the Lord found me, He found a shabby mess. But ever since the Lord got a hold of my life and the sweet rose of Sharon got to spraying His fragrance all over my life, He sent in the heavenly holy balm of Gilead and He's changed my life. So here is my question. If at best Jesus did three, would somebody wave their hand and say, God has delivered me. God has delivered me. Lord God, it's as if He's not just doing the works, but greater works. Are you ready? You ready? So he's bringing, doing that demon stuff. You got me on that one. Okay. Stand. Okay. So not just bringing something, water into wine. How many times did Jesus do that? So one time He brought something out of nothing, right? You're still cartilage, man. You can fly like that. You got this thing. What was I talking about? Something out of nothing. And all right. So we've seen that, right? Something out of nothing. Okay. Where were you 6 years ago? Were you preaching? Where were you 6 years ago? Were you preaching? No, sir. Ask me. Tyler, where were you 6 years ago? Were you in this church with this people?
Were you here 6 years ago?
No. 1, 2, 3.
Amen.
How many of you are in a different place than you were 6 years ago?
Praise the Lord. Yeah.
Yeah. You will not just do the works, but you will do greater.
Yeah.
Glory.
Amen. Amen.
Ready? Got one more. Jesus did something else in the book of John that He only did one time, recorded to a man who had been dead 4 days. He raised a little widow's son, the widow of Nain. He raised that child up. But Lazarus was not just dead. He was dead beyond hope. He had been dead how many days? 4 days. Do you know why four really matters? Because in Jewish superstition said that if the man could be prayed and a prayer could be offered within 3 days, a prayer would bring that body back. And so what they would do is they would weep and they would cry around that tomb and they would try to offer up hope and they would try to offer up help and they would try to say the right prayer. And if within 3 days that person rose from the dead, somebody could stand up and say, it was my prayer that got that man out of the grave. It was my prayer that rescued that person from the tomb. But at the end of the third day, on the fourth day, they said, all hope is gone and there's nothing anybody can do. And it is amazing that Jesus did not come when on day one or day two or day three when somebody else could have gotten the glory, but when all hope was gone on day four, when everybody had walked out on day four, when nothing could take the glory on day four, that's when Jesus came down the dusty road. That's when Jesus walked down that dusty way. And when everybody somebody else walked out, that's when God walked in. And that seems to be what God likes to do. When everybody else checks out, that's when the Holy Ghost will check in. That's when a church checks out, that's when God will check in. And when your family checks out, that's when God will check in. And when everybody else checks out, that's when God will check in. And when everybody else says, I'm done, God says, I'll take a gander at it. And when everybody else says, I don't care, God says, I still care. And when everybody else says, there ain't no hope, Jesus said, I am the hope and the resurrection and the life. And here's what he does. He raises a man beyond hope.
Yeah.
How many did he do that to? One. Some glad morning we shall see. My therapist said if I do this, I'll calm down real quick. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air. Boom, 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 come. It ain't working, honey. It ain't working. Because here's what I know. 16 years old, at the back of the Vandalia Baptist Church, I was lost and undone without God or His Son. And I did not know it. And I was beyond hope. And I was beyond help. And the Baptist Church couldn't help me. And the preacher couldn't help me. But the good Holy Ghost came my way, showed me my lost condition, showed me the eternal Christ of glory, and saved my soul. And you know what I've got in this building right now? I've got people that everybody else walked out on. I've got people that everybody else said they are beyond hope. I've got people in this building that when everybody else walked in, that seems to be when the Holy Ghost checked in and He saved your soul and He changed your life and brought hope back to you and brought power back to you and brought strength back to you and brought unction back to you. What did God do? God did a greater work. You ready? You want to see this? How many of you would testify? Now, it's not going to be everybody, but how many of you would testify? Nobody could help me. I tried it all, but I finally met Jesus and He changed me.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
Yeah. Miss Cook told me a story. I'm not going to tell the whole story, but I'm going to tell a little story. She said, I was watching TV as a young married woman. She said, I lived one day one way during the week and lived another way on the weekend. She said, I lived one way during the week and another way on the weekend. She said, but that old preacher, he would get on that TV and he would preach in the power of God and he'd preach in the unction of the Holy Ghost and he spoke to her on that TV and her husband came in and this is what her husband said. He was lost and undone without God as well. And this is what that old boy right over there said. He said, I hope you ain't sending that man my money. She said, I'm not doing it. But God had started doing a work inside of her. And you know what happened? She got saved. Then he got saved. Then they got in the house of God. And God did an eternal holy work in their life. Here's my question. If you raised your hand a while ago, raise it back up, that God got you. Here's my question. How many? Keep them up, keep them up, keep them up. How many of you? So how many was it when Jesus raised? All right, let's count some hands. Put them back up. One, two, we're beyond what Jesus has done, and that is a greater work. This is what I'm telling you, people of God. We've not even seen the half, and the half has not been told. We've yet to see what God can do. We've yet to see what God can have. We've yet to see how God can roll it back. We've yet to see how God can touch our families. We've yet to see what God's going to save. We've yet to see how God's going to work. We've yet to see how God's going to move. We've yet to see it. We've yet to see it. We've yet to see it. How do I know? Because greater works shall they do. How do you do it? Flip over one verse. How do you do it? Verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do not let doubt change that word in your Bible. Whatsoever. Do not read it like this, whatsoever, but. Do not read it, whatsoever, yet. Whatsoever, but hold on. Whatsoever, but I think. Whatsoever, yet that person, and whatsoever ye shall ask. This is a King James Bible, but listen to me. You may as well put it on the shelf if you don't want to believe what it says. It does not matter what version you have if you're not going to believe what God has said. You're just a Pharisee like me, like I was, ready to argue over the nth degree of the points, but having no spirit of the living God. But when the Holy Ghost takes the truth and puts it in your soul, all of a sudden you start believing, and whatsoever ye shall ask. And whatsoever ye shall ask. And whatsoever, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Larry, bring the girls here. Come here, babies. Come on, come on, come on, come on. My mason won't help me. Okay. Now my hands are clean. Okay? Papa's gonna stand right there. Larry? And whatsoever ye shall ask. Guess what that means? Are you a whatsoever? Yes. Are you a whatsoever? Yes. Come here, Anna Grace. Come here. All right, stand right here. I love your dress, by the way. Beautiful. Anna Grace, are you a whatsoever? Yes. Whatsoever ye shall ask, that will I do.
Amen.
Y'all stand right here. Okay?
Yeah.
Are you a whatsoever? Are you a whatsoever? Are you a whatsoever? Okay, now I'm going to blow my Calvinist brothers out of the way. Are you a whatsoever? Are you an elect? Or are you a whatsoever? Boom! You're a whatsoever. Stephen, are you a whatsoever? Yes, you are. Are you a whatsoever? Are you a whatsoever? Are you a whatsoever? Are you a whatsoever? You are a whatsoever. I had more people ask me, they said, did that woman really hit you with that dumb duck umbrella?
I thought
that. Yeah, I know you did. You ready? Ready? Whatsoever, 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 whatsoever. There's not one thing that they shall ask that God says, I will not do it. Whatsoever, whatsoever, I will do it, and you will see greater. Greater. Maison. Wider, gloriouser, gloriouser, more honorable, bigger! This one could be a missionary to the far. This could be another William Carey that changes a nation. This could be another girl that translates something. This could be a girl that keeps a girl's home running. This could be a boy that preaches the gospel and changes the world. This could be a boy that changes technology for the gospel of Jesus Christ and the glory of God. This boy right here could change the world for the things of God. This boy right here could preach the gospel. This boy right here could give more love than any human being. This man right here meets more people in a week driving. This boy right here can have the power of God. This girl right here can do whatever God tells her. This man right here is not bound by what the doctor says. This woman right here is a living, breathing testimony. This woman right here has got the power of God. And whatsoever, that will I. Do not be content with the things. Go with God this week and say, God, I want the greater things.